In the epistle today, St. Paul sums up a good Lent in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I think today's epistle was chosen because of the stirring quote from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. As well as for its list of Lenten virtues, worthy goals for each one of us to be working on. We're doing charity together as a church, and so our eyes go down in about the middle of the epistle. You see the phrase, in charity unfeigned. In other words, it's not fake. Genuine love for your neighbor. Two of the fruits of the Holy Ghost as well, which always come in handy, but especially for charity. Long-suffering, which means patiently or uncomplainingly to endure injuries. And then kindness or benignity, a kind of a goodness of heart, a sympathy that you show towards others. And we see those on offer and we say, I'll take one of those and one of those, Holy Ghost, please put them in my cart. St. Paul, though, writes about himself, his priesthood, and indeed the priestly ideal today as ministers of God who have to lead the laity by example. Well, the priesthood is certainly on our mind today. After just 3 months, we have another newly ordained priest in our midst giving his first blessing. And this week, on the Ember Days, we sacrifice and pray for our future priests who are still studying for ordination. In charity unfeigned, St. Thomas Aquinas says that the priesthood is a life of perfect charity led properly. That is to say, of a love of God that shows itself in prayer or contemplation, and then sharing the goods of God with all of the faithful by administering to them the sacraments and by preaching. This ideal of the priestly life stands out in the epistle. I want to read it to you in a different translation that I found, rather a more poetic one that stresses that. Brethren, we entreat you not to offer God's grace an ineffectual welcome. I have answered thy prayer, he says, in a time of pardon. I have brought thee help in a day of salvation. And here is the time of pardon. The day of salvation has come already. We are careful not to give offense to anybody, lest we should bring discredit on our ministry. As God's ministers, we must do everything to make ourselves acceptable. We have to show great patience in times of affliction, of need, of difficulty, under the lash, in prison, in the midst of tumult, when we are tired out, sleepless and fasting. We have to be pure-minded, enlightened, forgiving, and gracious to others. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit, on unaffected love, on the truth of our message, on the power of God. To the right and to the left, we must be armed with innocence, now honored, now slighted, now flattered, now traduced. They call us deceivers, and we tell the truth, unknown, and we are fully acknowledged, dying men, and see we live, punished, yes, but not doomed to die, sad men that rejoice continually, beggars that bring riches to many, disinherited, and the world is ours. This, I think, is a balanced portrayal of the priesthood, even in our day. Honored, flattered sometimes, but also slighted or betrayed. This is why we must be armed against, you might say, the right wing and the left wing, and because we preach a difficult doctrine. We preach pro-life against abortion and birth control. against all of the incursions of the government against our Catholic morality. We preach against the new religion, lo, these 50 years. We preach for the infallible Catholic Church, which never could nor did teach error. And we preach that we could never unite with heretics, certainly not in the canon of the Mass, especially not at those sacred moments that were a grievous sin of sacrilege. We preach these things because we believe them to be revealed truth. What other motive could we possibly have? But the world, sometimes from the right hand, sometimes from the left wing, cries out that we're deceiving people just for the fun of it. Well, we, most of all, are treated by other traditional Catholics as an eccentric minority of a minority. Yet we are the ones, Monsignor Knox writes this, who are recognized by God himself. We were there first, we traditional Catholics. And our priesthood, it is a race of celibate men that mysteriously does not breed itself out. The true Catholic Church is best described by the English poet John Dryden, who apostatized from her for advancement in the new religion of England, still doomed to death, yet fated not to die. Persecutions only prune the branches. The history of the Church and the history of our Church prove this point. We are, for the world, a kind of a curious sideshow, because the world is intent on other things. I read recently an interview in the New York Times with a Hungarian screenwriter who is working with Mel Gibson on the script for his next movie, which will be about the Maccabees, which is, if you will, a most Catholic book of the Bible. Well, this man closed by making a comment about Gibson's, he calls it, Latin Mass church. He says, it exists only in his mind. Well, that's what they say about God. And we hold God. Not only do we preach him, but we offer him, and we receive him, and we hold the secret of life. The gospel goes on today along the same lines, really. It's summed up by St. Mark, this magnificent telling of St. Matthew about the threefold temptation of Christ in the desert. St. Mark just writes, "The Spirit drove him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by Satan, and he was with beasts, and the angels ministered to him." Our Lord was taken to the desert. Why? That lonely place, St. John Chrysostom says, is the place of temptation. Because if you're by yourself, you're easy pickings. That's why, one reason, we try over the years to stay together, we priests and you, the faithful. We'll never be put off from opening missions, from building churches, from conducting schools, and from training future priests. To gather the faithful together, lest they be left home alone. Where? Well, that would be in the desert. And who's there? The devil. And who is he? His name is Satan. It means the accuser, the calumniator. Enough said. Who else is there, though? St. Mark says there are beasts, animals, and angels. They stand for the priest. He's there. And you should be there too with him, fasting and praying in this time of temptation. The priest is an earthly angel. Would that he actually were one. But he's more than an angel. He is higher than they. The angel is God's minister. He is God's messenger. He obeys God. But the priest commands God. He speaks in Christ's name. "This is my body," he whispers. "I absolve you from your sins." And God obeys. It is done. No wonder St. Francis of Assisi said, should he come across a priest and an angel at the same time, he would greet the priest first, the representative of Jesus Christ, before his servant, the angel. But if he is an angel, the priest is also an animal. That is to say, he's a man with his human nature. But more, he should be an eagle to soar to the heights of holy theology, well meditated and learned. He should be a hen to gather her chicks under her wings. He should be a lion to roar in the desert. But most of all, he is, the priest, a dog. A dog. Not those dear demi-deities which have replaced children in many of America's families and are just as spoiled as any child would be. No. Think rather of some mangy beast. Think how for the Mohammedans, a dog is a dirty creature and despised. Or a Mexican dog. Poor beings, they're always fasting. Nobody ever feeds them, and they wander about, and you see their bones. It's sad. Or think of your neighbor's dog who won't stop barking danger. Though we wish he would, shut up. He won't. And for it all, he loves his master above all, and he is content just to be in his presence. The priest is a dog, a guide dog for heaven. He is a dog, such as St. Dominic's mother dreamt she gave birth to, a dog with a torch in its mouth, which ran around the world, illuminating its darkness. Or a dog, the dog who licked old Lazarus's wounds back to wellness, which the priest does, St. Gregory the Great says, for the wounds of our souls, by using his tongue to preach the truth, the priesthood. You'll easily see that every Catholic would benefit this Lent from developing some of these canine qualities. In caritate non ficta, in unfeigned charity, to pray like an angel and bark like a beast. Now is the acceptable time. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.